Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, if you could please open it to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And so we'll read from verse 12 all the way to 23. It's the ark brought to Jerusalem. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God." David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord was shouting in the sound of a trumpet. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought in the ark of the Lord and set in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread and one of dates, and one of raisins to each one. And then all the people departed, each to his house. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servant maids, and as one of the foolish ones, shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will be more lightly esteemed than this, and I will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished." Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. Amen. Amen. And so, if I could just paint a very fast picture, and I find it very interesting because I've always loved the story of David, because David is someone that, you know, when people preach about, you know, he's the man after God's own heart, right? That's who he's known for. And, you know, there's a natural draw for me because I've always wanted to be like that, right? Like a natural draw of, hey, I want to be like David. Many of us want to. But there's always qualities of David that I always looked for. Like, what is that quality that made him man after God's own heart, right? Like, how is it that we can become like David? And for me, when I look at a verse like this, there's so many things that come out of this. But let me just set the stage for a little bit first. So Pastor Nate was preaching on Tuesday morning about when David became the king of Judah. But in this case, what's happened since then is, okay, so David was made the king of Judah. And then the family of Saul and the kingdom of Saul prior to him was basically a lot of them was killed off before this. So basically God had taken care of everything that was against David and brought him to this place. So Nate had talked about Abner joining the house of David, but then he was killed. And then Jonathan and his family and the sons and all, they were killed. And now it's to this place now. Not only is David king over Judah, he's king over all of Israel. And so this is a time of celebration for David. And the way I always look at the scene is I just imagine like this big house and this big castle that David's walking towards, and there's on both sides lined up like servant maids and like people of Israel cheering. And a linen ephod, I didn't know this, was, you know, I always thought it was just like linen underwear, but apparently it's not linen underwear. And what it is it's actually an official dress of what the priest would wear. And so I saw a picture of it, and what it was is it literally was kind of like an apron. What you would have is you would have like two straps over the shoulders. You would have like this belt area that would like wrap around the waist. And it didn't say how long it went, but if you can imagine, just apron stops at the there's a part of the chest and it comes all the way down and wraps around. And basically, that's all David was wearing. I'm sure he was wearing probably underwear underneath, perhaps. But I'm trying to imagine this, right? Because when I saw a picture of it, it looked really weird because it looked like, I don't know, have you guys ever seen like a male just wearing an apron? It's not very appetizing to look at in the first place. And the way I would give you an example of how that would look like in our day is, imagine Solomon's Porch planted a whole bunch of churches, and then we're praising God, and then PSAM being made, you know, the apostle of Asia or whatnot, and we're all celebrating with him. And then he's starting to walk down this aisle, and he's standing at the back, and all he's wearing is Lisa's apron. And he's like dancing up and down, and the word here for dance, it's like jumping up and down, twirling in circles and whatnot. Could you imagine like PSAM doing that, right? Having an apron and just, yeah. I mean, it's not a sight that even I would, you know, when I looked at it, it's like, oh yeah, he's praising God. But I think even people in the church would be kind of like, well, it's a little excessive, you know? It's like, hey, you could wear some clothes. But this is what was happening. David was walking toward, you know, Jerusalem, and the city of David, and he was having the ark behind him. And, you know, at this time, remember, it said he was sacrificing to God, right? And back in the day, only priests could sacrifice. So it was likely the priests were there with him as well. And so he was dancing, and he was wearing this linen ephod. And when I read this, it's so surprising to me because I think it really shows many qualities of what makes David, David. It shows the qualities of what makes him a man after God's own heart. And I don't think it only speaks of just character, but I think it speaks to his style of worship and a style of worship that all of us should really look to desire. And the first thing I think it speaks to is David's heart of worship. And the way I would say is because of this, right? Imagine, you know, I know we use the example of PSAM, you know, becoming the apostle of Asia and whatnot. But I think what really speaks to me about David being the heart of being a man after God's own heart is the way he responds to the things that God does for him in his life. It's not that he, you know, just says, oh, thank you, Lord. It's not that he just praises him. But David does everything in his power to give to God all the glory that God deserves, even to the point of humiliation, right? I'd be even more humbled in my own eyes. In NIV, it says, I'll be even more humiliated in my own eyes. But his heart of worship, when we see him dance, it shows that his heart, when he worships, it's not a self-centered heart. You know what I mean? When he's worshiping God, he's basically putting everything that he is in front of God and saying, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I'm willing to do all things to bow down before you, to be naked in front of the multitudes, to wear an apron, you know, that was pretty unbefitting of a king. And, you know, there are, you know, the dancing as well, there's passages in the scriptures and some of the commentaries I was reading was saying that actually dancing was usually reserved for the women. And so to see a king disrobe himself, wearing nothing but an apron, but to dance, in itself, it's actually something that's pretty embarrassing. But what I think David was doing is, not only was he putting God's heart before his, what he was really doing is putting God's needs before his own. Like, that's basically what I believe is speaking to his character of how he is a man after God's own heart. His worship to God is not just this thing of saying, God, I'm going to come and worship you and ask to be blessed by you. My worship to you is to bless you. My worship to you is to put your needs before my own. My worship to you is to do everything in my power to make sure you are blessed. Right? And I mean, obviously, we could kind of look at it and say, oh, well, God did all of these things for him, right? So it should be easy for David to feel like, okay, I can do these things. But I don't think it's so easy. Because I think a lot of times God does things for us that we pray for, or even things that we don't pray for. And oftentimes we don't always give God all the glory, right? We don't always do everything to celebrate what God is doing, right? I'm not saying that we should come on Sunday, you know, take off all the clothes and start dancing. That's not what I'm saying. But to have a reckless abandon to worship God the way he deserves to be worshipped, simply because, God, we desire to bless you. We want to give you everything that we have because of the goodness that you've done for us, because of the goodness that you have in our lives. And that's the heart of David. He puts God's needs before his own. The second thing that I think this passage speaks to in terms of who David was, in terms of the man after God's own heart, is P.N.A. kind of touched on this, was David was a man of conviction, but I don't think it's just conviction that it shows. Actually, it shows that David is a man of conviction, yes, but actually he's a man of action from conviction. And this is something that really speaks to me, because, you know, we know James, right? Faith without deeds is dead. You know, it is by our actions, right, that people will see who God is. I think it's important to have conviction. I think for me, that's something that, you know, something that I've always been very annoyed about, especially in this year, is, do you guys know Tom Ford? Have you guys heard of Tom Ford, the mayor of Toronto? Basically the guy that put Toronto on the map, right? Like, he is an alcoholic, he's a drug addict, and he says the most inappropriate things. And so recently he was put into rehab, and he comes back out, and the media is asking him, he's like, hey, you know, David, Tom, what kind of statement do you have for all these things that you're doing? And Rob goes, you know, I have a disease. My disease is alcoholism. I have a disease, and it's drug addiction. And so it's really out of my control. There's really nothing I can do about it, but I'm going to do my best to seek medical help and to do what I can to kind of fix the problem. And for me, I get so annoyed at that. It's basically what he's saying is, I have no responsibility in anything that I do. I have no responsibility in you know, drinking alcohol, taking drugs and whatnot. And he's just passing responsibility to a disease. Where's the conviction in that, right? Like, what is... For me, it speaks to me as in, you know, as leaders, we really should be people that are convicted in terms of what's right and what's wrong. But even more so, when we do something wrong or when we have a conviction, it's something we should act on. We shouldn't just say, hey, oh, it's right to do this and then do nothing about it. We really need to do something about it. And I remember one of the biggest things that caught me off guard this year was when the AFA, not the American Family Association, the American Psychiatric Association, remember when they said that pedophilia was a sexual orientation? For me, that was like the last straw of this past year. And I realized when they said, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. That's for me when I recognized why it's so important not just to have conviction, but for us to actually act on that conviction. Because if we do nothing when God speaks to us about something, and when we do nothing, you know, whether it's in our families, in the workplace, all it is a good idea. Until we act on it, there's nothing that changes. And I feel like this is something that speaks to David, right? It speaks from David's heart that he is a man of conviction, but also a man of action as well. And that's something that we can strive for as well. The third thing, I think, in this passage that it speaks about David is, David is more concerned about the approval of God than he is about the approval of men. And this, for me, is also something that's really big, too. And I think coming from a conservative church, SP is already a place that is already pretty free of worship, right? You know, people raise their hands and, you know, some people go on their knees and whatnot. But sometimes it makes me think, right, just how free we are when we come on a Sunday worship, right? How recklessly abandoned we are to come to really seek God's face and to really worship him. You know, I know, you know, it's good to ask for God to come, but are we really willing to abandon all that we are to worship? And, you know, when David, I see him removing all his clothes and doing all of these things. Again, I'm not advocating that we do that. But when we are here to worship, are we really here to worship and simply saying, God, it's just between you and I? Or do we always have this thought, you know, nagging thought of, you know, what would people think of me? You know, should I even be doing this? Or, oh, that guy did this and I don't want to do it just to, you know. And worship really should be something that is just between us and God, right? And so that's something that I think I'm learning from as well. Just being willing to simply say, God, I desire your approval. Whether it's in worship, whether it's in the way I serve, whether it's in how I preach or the things that I do. And this is something that's very hard for me sometimes too, is because I shared with you guys when I gave that word on Sunday, when I felt like God was saying, hey, there's a need for repentance aside from just asking God for calm. I realize that sometimes, not necessarily just because as a pastor, right, but even as someone who loves the Lord, when God tells me to do something, even if it's difficult, I just have to do it. I can't be afraid that God is, you know, what people are going to say. Because at the end of the day, if I'm always afraid that, you know, if I don't do, oh God, what is it people going to think of me and whatnot? All we're going to do is we're going to be satisfying a need for approval. We're going to be satisfying a need of, oh, I need to fit in, or I need to be a certain way. But God has called us to be more than that. He's called us to be ministers. He's called us to be people who seek after me. He's called us to be people who desire his word, his kingdom come. You know, for me, it's in the church. But for you guys, it's probably in the workplace. And so I would encourage you guys too, right? That's something that David's heart is so good, is he seeks God's approval. The fourth thing I think it kind of speaks to is the topic of being unequally yoked. This is something that you know, I kind of want to speak to the singles. If you're not married, even though, I mean, not saying that I know a lot of people, but, you know, I've had a lot of friends this past year get divorced simply because, you know, one of them was Christian, one of them wasn't, and or some of the conduct was not Christian and whatnot. And here, we know Michal's a believer, right? Because she's the daughter of Saul, and Saul himself was a believer of God. But even in the way that she would act, even in the way that she saw David, you know, I'm not saying that they were unequally yoked in that they're unbelievers, but to have even a heart that one is for God, one isn't for God, makes a marriage so much more difficult. And I have a friend who was married, and it was to a, I guess you could say a believer. But basically, it turned out after a few years of marriage, it was very clear that he wasn't a believer. Some of the things he was doing, his conduct, and they ended up having a kid together. And she was telling me the hardest thing about being married to somebody like that is that there's always a hope that you're living for God. And I mean, it's always our desire to do something, right, in terms of serving the Lord and acting when God speaks to us. And she was saying it was so, so hard because he would always say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And when I wanted to go to church, he would say, no, we're not going to go. Or, hey, yeah, it's great to serve the poor. And then when she was like, hey, let's go on a mission trip. And in her heart, and you guys know, right, when God stirs, there's just this desire to go. And just every time being stifled by this guy. And she's saying the hardest thing about it wasn't even so much that I felt like I couldn't do the things that God was asking me to do. But I felt so hard because I felt like I made a decision to be with someone. Obviously, her decision is to minister to him as well. But I felt like I couldn't live out the life that God had called me to live out. And so when I hear that, I mean, I wasn't even sure, you know, how I could encourage her. I mean, you know, I said, I pray for you. I pray for, you know, him. I pray for the relationship. But at the end of the day, they end up getting a divorce because some of the things that he did. And so I think when we look at this passage too, right, make sure you find somebody. You know, I mean, I think PCM talks about dating too. It's okay to date a non-believer, but it's better. Make sure you find somebody that you can be equally yoked with, that your act of worship to the Lord is not going to be something that they can't understand, simply because there's going to be a lot of things that God calls us to. And I think it just makes it so much more difficult to live that life when... Yeah, it makes it so much more difficult to live that life when the person beside us, the person that should be most encouraging of us to do so, is unable to encourage us to do that. So, I mean, just as a side note. And the last thing I kind of want to take away from this, and Nate kind of talked about this, is, you know, Michal, the way she talked about David, right? I think we really need to be careful when we talk about leadership and the Lord's anointed. Michal was, you know, when the Bible talks about her, she was David's wife, right? And what happened was Saul gave her over to him when he was doing such a good job for him, right? He was like, okay, you've conquered the Philistines. Here's a wife for you. Here's my daughter. But what ended up happening is she has this disdain for him. We don't know why, right? The Bible never tells us. Maybe it was because he took her away from her home, or maybe because he was embarrassing himself, whatever the case may be. But the Bible tells us that she had a disgust for David when she looked at him. And then verse 23, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. I think it kind of serves as a fair warning to us. I think all of us is, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be honest, right? We should all be honest. I think everyone is flawed, myself included, PSAM included, your leaders included, my leaders included. But we really need to be careful about the way how we talk about the Lord's anointed. And the reason is this, right? I'm not saying that if you do it, that something bad is going to happen. But these are the people that God has placed into your life as leaders. And look, it's being honest and just saying, hey, why are you doing this? And asking and questioning is okay. But when we speak about our leaders with contempt, I think that's when it crosses the line. When we speak of them like, oh yeah, you know, he's good, but yo, man, he does this, right? And the Bible's very clear. She had disgust and disdain and when she was talking to David and how she looked at David. And so we really need to check our hearts, right? Anytime we're talking about leadership anywhere, you know, whether it's in the church or your boss, we really need to make sure, where is it coming from? Are we speaking out of anger? Is it out of contempt? Or are we speaking from a place where, you know, it's okay to be honest, but hey, can we change this or do that? So let's close our eyes. There was a lot of points. First of all, let's just go before God as Sarah leads us. Just really ask God to kind of show us where our hearts are. Are we people that are after God's own heart? Do we believe that God is worth all of our actions, whether it's unhindered worship, or whether it's to act with conviction? Something that really speaks to me about David's conviction is, you know, he knows that God gave him his kingdom. And so he wasn't afraid to do what was right as he saw fit in that kingdom. You know, I know most of the people that will listen to this EMP are from the workplace. And so I just want to ask, do you believe that God gave you your job? And if you do you believe that if you act with conviction, if you were to seek what was right, and sometimes even if it meant to kind of go against the grain, are you worried that you would lose your job because of it? You know, something that Chris Lee once said to me, and he was talking about his work and being a lawyer, and they would always have these year-end parties, and they would always drink, and he would always sit at the end of the table, and he wouldn't drink. And I asked him once, I said, hey, aren't you afraid that if you don't drink, you know, you might lose your job? And Chris said to me, he said, it was God that gave me this job, but if me worshiping my God and being faithful to him causes me to lose my job, then it's a job worth losing. So let's really seek God. Let's really ask him to give us that sort of conviction, that we could live our life of worship to him, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's in the church, in our families, and to give us a conviction to act as well. So let's pray. Before you, God, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, God, for an example like David, God, that we can really learn from. And so, God, we bless you, Lord, with all that we are, with all that we have. And God, we just desire, Lord, to be recklessly abandoned for you, Lord, whatever the case may be, that we may worship you with all that we have. So, God, will you help us today, Lord, as we continue to seek your face, Lord, as we pray for our friends, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. So let's go to our community focus. Let's really pray for those that have cancer. Let's really lift them up, those that are going through chemo and radiation therapy, who need recovery from surgery, from cancer. Let's really pray for God's hand to come in and heal. Let's really claim healing over them as well. You know, as the Lord leads you, but let's really pray, you know, in terms of even commanding prayers, that, Lord, you're gonna heal, and we command the body for healing. So let's really lift them up. pray for those who are sick in our community, but also in need of salvation. Let's really pray that God unveils eyes, opens ears, and really opens hearts that they will know Him. So let's really pray for God to come in His Spirit and just really come and bring salvation as well. Let's pray for those in our community who are sick. Let's also really just lift them up, that God is with them in this time, that especially if they're going through suffering, that God will bring them peace, to bring joy and peace to their families as well, as usually it's very difficult for family members. Let's also lift up P-Sam for his right shoulder as he's recovering in this time and as he's traveling. Let's really pray that God's with him and his family as well. Pray for those looking for jobs. Let's really pray for covering over them. Let's pray for the Lord's favor over them as well, over their faces, their interactions, over their resumes. There's just something about them that employers just want. So let's really pray that also God prepares their heart for this place, to be in ministry in the workplace, and pray for God's providence as well, especially for those who may be looking for work for a long time and in need of financial providence. Let's really pray for them as well. Pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for grace. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the wealth gap here. Let's pray for the political situation and the government and what's going on. Let's really pray for Hong Kong. Really for God's peace to come over this place. I think there's a lot of fear in terms of what's going to happen. But let's really pray that God will come. Let's pray for revival, that Hong Kong be a light to China and that we can really be a place of breakthrough. Praying for the local churches, for YWAM Hong Kong, for Master's Beauty, for Shanti, for Face to Face, Feeding the Hungry, for Christian Solidarity Worldwide, the Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's really pray that we can really make an impact in this place. Let's pray. let's stick here for a moment. I really, really feel a sense that let's really pray that the people of Hong Kong will come to seek the Lord instead of putting faith in a person they can elect. Let's really pray that people will come to rely on Lord as a refuge instead of just a political stance. Let's really pray that God really just changes the atmosphere of Hong Kong so it becomes a God-centered place and not just a democracy-centered place. Let's really pray for that. Let's really lift up the missions committee. Please pray for me. Let's pray for Janella, Jamie Donaldson, John Kang, James Chia, and P. Sam. Let's really pray that God really gives us a heart for missions, to be able to care for our missionaries. Let's really pray not only for that, but that God will give us wisdom to know, you know, who we should partner with and when and how much and what we need to do. Let's really pray for covering over their families and workplaces and whatnot, and just covering over all the things that pertain to them. So we pray for them. Pray for our local outreach. Let's pray for the community center that we have that are being used. Let's really pray that God really is able to reach the community through the center. Let's pray for Igape, Homi Ministries, SP Lights, Bridge, and Mother's Choice. Let's really pray that we're really able to make a dent into the local community through these ministries. Let's pray for God's Spirit and His Holy Spirit to really come mightily into each of these ministries and to bless the leaders of these ministries as well. Pray for our Friday evening activities tonight. Let's pray for IP. Let's really pray for covering over them, that God is really going to fill the sanctuary and that He'll speak to them to know how to cover us as a church. Let's pray for covering over them as they cover us, over their families, over loved ones, jobs, relationships. Let's really pray that God protects them as they really warfare for the church. Let's pray for SPU. Hyunsu is out of town. Let's really pray for whoever's covering for Hyunsu. Let's pray for that the kids will really really meet with God, and that those who are coming new will be able to see God as well. Let's really pray for the river, that people will be refreshed tonight, and everything will work well, the sound, PowerPoint, and whatnot. So let's really cover tonight's activities. Thank you. pray for our host churches tonight, for McCain and Discovery Bay. Let's really pray for our leaders. Let's really pray for the house churches. You know, as house churches, new seasons start and newcomers come, there's always a time of kind of that break-in period. Let's really pray for God to come in His Spirit, that it's going to be easy, that sharing is not going to be difficult, that there's just going to be a spirit of openness and just family and security and safety. In the house churches tonight, let's really pray God will just come and bless their socks off with the Spirit, and that the worship will be just an amazing time. Let's really pray for these house churches. Father, we thank You, God. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for people such as David, Lord. God, help us in our own walks, God. Help us in our workplaces, God, and in our families. Lord, help us to love You, God, with not just our words, but with our actions, Lord. Help us to love You, God, with convictions, Lord, and to really be able to live through them as well. So, God, I really pray for covering over my friends today, God. I pray against backlash, Lord, over them. Lord, I pray, God, that You will send Your heavenly host, God, and really just Your presence, Lord, to cover them and their families, God, and all that they do and all that they have. So, Father, we thank You, God, and will You be with us today, Lord? We love You, God. We bless You, God, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. So, bless you. Have a great time of worship, and we'll see you back tomorrow.